A project called Norfolk at the Pictures, funded by the Heritage Lottery, looks at the history of cinema going in Norfolk. Mike Hutchinson, a board member at Cinema City, was part of the research team, and Elizabeth Martin met him recently to find out more about the wonderful old cinemas in our region.
We're here in the education suite of the John Hurt Centre at Cinema City in Norwich. So Mike, tell me about how Norfolk people first got their taste of going to the pictures.
Well, it started a long time ago, a lot longer than I imagined. 1896 was about the first time when people saw moving pictures, as they saw it then. They were sort of viewed as moving photographs. They weren't quite like the cinema we see today. But around 1896, projectors and cameras became commercially available. And so people were always ready to exploit something new. And that's when the whole thing started.
So when did cinemas actually first appear in Norfolk?
Cinemas came along much later. The most likely place you were to see moving pictures initially was either at the fairground or the circus or the music hall. And they were sort of an act on the music hall. And the fairground proprietors, the showmen, fully exploited this to the maximum. And so travelling fairgrounds, which went round Norfolk and East Anglia, there would be a tent which would be suitably darkened, and then there would be a lot of razzmatazz to attract the customers. People would go in and see this wonderful invention. That was really how it all started. And it wasn't until a bit later when films started to become available commercially. When I say films, they were extremely short. They were sketches of everyday life, or there would be a little comic turn. But when they started to be available more commercially, the idea came upon fairground proprietors that perhaps there could be a permanent cinema. And it was around 1900 that cinemas started to appear as such, where people went to see a show and pay for it.
And I gather there's a very early example of that in Great Yarmouth.
We're very, very fortunate in having what must be one of the oldest cinema buildings in the country. What is now known, people will know as the Windmill, because it has windmill sails on the front. But it was originally known as the Gem. It was built in 1908 and was going to be, initially, it was going to be a sort of indoor zoo. And they decided that it probably wasn't a good idea to have a smelly indoor zoo on Yarmouth seafront. So a very enterprising young man called Charles Cochrane said, we'll open this as a cinema. So it was set up as a cinema, and they decorated the building with thousands of light bulbs. Which, of course, fascinating at that time, because people didn't have electric light at home. So to see 1,000 light bulbs, it was a show in itself, really. Charles decided to show films continuously, so he would open at 10 o'clock in the morning and run till 10 o'clock at night. He put a sign outside saying, come in when you like and stay as long as you like. And he just paid a few pence to sit in a very bare, basic room. But the Great Yarmouth Council were very suspicious about this, because it involved men and women sitting in the dark for as long as they liked. And what could go on, you see? So they made a rule that men would have to sit on one side of the aisle and women would have to sit on the other. And that was how it opened. There was segregation, and there's a plaque outside the building today to commemorate this.
That's a wonderful story. I don't think they'd get away with that today.
No. But he was a very enterprising man, was Charles, and he came from a showman background. He didn't manage it for very long, but very briefly, he went on in life to move down to London, and he became a theatre promoter, and he promoted a lot of stuff with Noel Coward Productions. And then he went on to manage the Royal Albert Hall for something like 12 years, and was knighted as Sir Charles Cochrane. So here was a man who started on Yarmouth seafront in a little cinema and finished up managing the Royal Albert Hall.
That's a wonderful story. So let's move on to Norwich. What was going on the cinema scene there?
Well, again, it all started around this magic year of 1896. And we've got a very clear record of one of the first indoor performances, and it was at the Agricultural Hall in the Prince of Wales Road, which many people know today as the Anglia Television Building. That's where Anglia Television used to be. Again, it was a fairground circus man who started that performance, a chap called George Gilbert, and he put on what was called George Gilbert's Modern Circus. And we've got a playbill that shows some of the films he put on. And there was the Derby, there was a boxing kangaroo, there was the Southwestern Railway at Dover. You know, a train coming into the station would have people clutching their seats, you know, because they thought it was going to come through the wall. There was a prize fighter, a chap called Jem Mace, who was a Norfolk man. And there was a royal garden party from Marlborough House. You know, he would show these films as part of the whole entertainment. And eventually, of course, he went on to build the Hippodrome Circus in Great Yarmouth.
Oh, that beautiful building, yes.
Yes, I mean, he's a very famous man, George Gilbert.
Tell me about some other notable cinemas in Norwich.
In Norwich, one of the most beautiful ones was the Hippodrome in St Giles Street. It's, unfortunately, these days, it's a car park. But it was a grand and beautiful building, and it opened around 1903. And these were very big cinemas, these early cinemas. They were single screen. So it could seat about 1,800 people. And the Hippodrome was really, like a lot of early cinemas, was designed more as a theatre. So it had boxes, but it was a beautiful building. And for many years it ran as a cinema and as a theatre. And as an opera house, it was more of an opera house. And sadly, it closed in around 1960. People turned up for a cinema show and they were just shown away at the door. And unfortunately, it just got more and more decayed until they pulled it down.
And could you tell me the story behind the Thatch Cinema that used to stand on All Saints Green?
The Thatch Cinema, originally owned by the Bond family, and those older listeners will remember, before it was John Lewis, the big store was Bond's. And on All Saints Green, they had a thatched roof cinema. And it's also said that the cinema roof, or part of the roof, could be slid open during the summer months to let the fresh air in. And in 1915, they turned it into a cinema. And whilst a lot of cinemas in the city at that time had just a pianist to accompany the film, the Thatch Cinema actually had a small orchestra. But unfortunately, it closed in 1930 because the owners were not prepared to put in sound equipment, because that's when sound came in. So that was the end of almost the end of the Thatched. It was bombed during the Baedeker raids during the Second World War. So it's no longer there, unfortunately.
Now, there was a lovely story you were telling me about the boy cinema manager, which I'd love you to share with our listeners.
Alfred Warminger was a little boy who was about 14 years old. His dad owned a pub in the city, and he was very keen on showing films. And his father bought him a projector, and he would put on film shows for young children, and they all sat on long wooden benches. And I actually met a lady who remembers, as a little girl, going to one of these performances, and she said how much she enjoyed it, and they would show Charlie Chaplin films and various things, and she could actually remember some of the films she'd seen. This little enterprise made a profit, and so a second cinema was opened, and it was called The Enterprise, and it had a grand opening, and the Mayor of Norwich came along, and this was in 1934. The Enterprise had something like 200 seats, but was still run by this young boy and his friends. There was an admission charge, we were told, which was an old halfpenny or a jam jar, and mysteriously a rabbit skin. There was a number of cinemas in Norwich which a rabbit skin would get you in. Now, we've researched that because it would be quite a smelly box office which had a succession of rabbit skins, but we think what happened was children would come in on Saturdays and they would sell rabbit skins to a man on the market, and he would give them a penny or whatever, and then they would use it to go and get into the cinema. And Alfred was an amazing chap because he went on to be a flight lieutenant during the Second World War, and he was a glider pilot. And some people may remember him as his slogan, Warminger wants waste paper, and he became a waste paper merchant. Eventually, he became a sheriff of Norwich at one stage.
Sounds incredible.
Yes, for a little boy. It was pretty
yes,
good.
For a small boy, that's quite something. So, Mike, what do you think is the future for cinemas now that we can watch films so readily at home on our TVs or DVD players?
Well, people started to see the demise of the cinemas, and it did start to happen in the 1950s when television first became popular. But funnily enough, the whole industry seems to have turned round in later years, and cinemas are now opening where they were once closing. And in fact, a new cinema opened in Thetford just before Christmas last year. But one thing that might be of interest to your listeners is that some cinemas will put on performances with audio description for people with sight difficulties. And you need to know when and where these performances are. And you'll be given a pair of headphones so you can sit along with the rest of the patrons, and you get an audio description much as you can with some television programmes. So if you want an outing with the rest of your family to the cinema, you know, you shouldn't feel excluded because you have sight problems. They don't charge you any extra for this. So you can enjoy a night out the pictures with the rest of your family, and dip into the popcorn.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. That was fascinating.
Mike Hutchinson of Cinema City, who contributed to the research for Norfolk at the Pictures.